The reading this morning is taken from Mark, chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Clarissa, for praying. And if you can get your Bibles out to Mark chapter 2. I'm sure it'll help you as we go through it, but let's pray that God will speak to us. Lord, we thank you for the grace that has called us to be your own, and we pray now that your grace will make us gracious people, people who reflect your love and grace to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you are the kind of person who makes New Year's resolutions, and what kind of New Year's resolutions did you make this past year? Did any of them have to do with sort of the spiritual disciplines, maybe coming to church more regularly? You know, the thing about the church attendance is it's one of these things that we measure in the church. And it's not everything, but it is important for many different reasons. It tells us many different things, but at the very least, it tells us whether you actually like coming to church, whether people enjoy coming to church, people want to come to church. So I want to ask that question. Do you like coming to church? This morning, did you come because you feel like you had to come, because it's sort of a tick box that you have to tick in order to not feel guilty? Or did you want to come? Did you meet with others? Did you want to worship with others this morning? Is it an obligation, or is it a desire that you have? And I'm not going to ask you to make it your resolution to come to church more regularly this year. I hope you do. But this year, I would love for us to foster a gospel culture, a culture that will make us want to come to church. That's something that I'm going to ask you to do. A culture that is more open, more vulnerable, more honest and gracious. So as we start the new year, I want to talk about what we're not. We're not a community that is striving. We're a community of sinners called and saved by God's grace. And we want to live out that calling as a fellowship of sinners here in Sha Tin Church. Now, Hong Kong is a city of strivers, people who are trying really hard. It starts at the very beginning. My Tommy is going to go to school. 2.5 years old, he's going to go to school and he's going to start having homework. 2.5. Right? And we work hard at school, at work. We're just working really hard. If we were, as a city, a character in Harry Potter movie, we would be Hermione Granger. In Prisoner of Azkaban, Granger is this eager young student who wants to learn. And there isn't enough time of the day for her to learn everything that she wants to learn. But this being Harry Potter, she turns to a spell. She turns to a spell that turns the clock back an hour, a few times a day, so that she can take classes, all the classes, even the same classes, even the classes that take place at the same time. So she learns and she tries. But what happens by end of that book? She's exhausted. She's completely exhausted, and she can barely stand. Striving, performing, trying to distinguish oneself from others by working really hard is really tiring. It's really tiring out there in the world, and it's really tiring here in the church. And if we're striving and performing and trying to distinguish ourselves from others in the church, well, we're going against the very fundamentals of who we are as a church. Because we aren't a people who are called because we have achieved. No, it's quite the opposite. We're a people who have no business being associated with this God. But God has called us graciously and called us his children. We see that in our reading today, right? Levi, the tax collector, is sitting in the tax collector's booth doing all the things that he had always done, which was betraying his own country, collecting taxes for the Roman Empire, the oppressors, and getting rich while doing it. You know, he wasn't trying to be really good. It wasn't that Jesus saw his heart of gold and called him. No, he called Levi out from the tax collecting booth, the place of his sin, the emblem of his sinfulness. And we are like Levi, not the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. No, those people were strivers. Those people were trying to be different. Those people were trying to be good on their own, to stand out in their knowledge, in their moral rectitude. So when they see Jesus hanging out with the sinners and the tax collectors, they say, well, why does he eat with them? He should be with us. People were good. The thing is, though, the attitude of religious strife will end up making us just tired, exhausted, and divided also, and feeling insecure. Hong Kong, once again, we work really hard. But if we come to church and we're constantly telling one another to try to do more, try to do better, to work harder, we'll find that exhausting. We'll find coming to church exhausting. This will be a duty, not a joy, not a thing that you want to do. We don't want to do that. That's not who we are. And we'll also be filled with judgmentalism and division and judgmentalism. You know, when we start getting exhausted, when we're sort of healthy and doing well, we can carry others along with us, right? But when we are exhausted, what happens? Start looking around. You go, well, why am I doing everything? Why isn't he coming to these things? Why isn't she volunteering for these things? Why do I have to do everything here? This is what happens. We then start dividing people. Well, those people are doers. Those people are failures. Those people are good. Those people are not good. Divisions come as we divide people into in-groups and out-groups, good and bad. And even those who seem to be doing well, often they're struggling inside. Imposter syndrome happens. Go to any place where people are judged by their performance, you'll find people struggling as imposters. You know, go to Oxford. There'll be many, many people who will be there who go, how did I get here? I got here by mistake. I'm a fraud and I'll be found out. But sadly, that happens in the church too. We come to church. Don't you feel that sometimes? I go, why am I like this? Why did I have this anger problem again, a lust problem again, or why did I fail in this way? Where's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be at work in my life? How could I be like this if I am a Christian? I'm a fraud, and I'll be found out soon. I don't belong here. Pastor Sam Albury talks about this in this book called You're Not Crazy. Where he ran into, there's a copy of it downstairs, he ran into a longtime church member who he hadn't seen in the church for a while. This was unusual, so when he saw her at the supermarket, he ran to her and said, we haven't seen you in a while. Is everything okay? We'd love to have you back in church. And her answer was, well, actually, I'm going through a crisis right now. I can't go to church right now, but when I'm well, I'll come back. And this is what Sam writes about that. Her words were heartbreaking to hear. In her mind, church was a place where she could come only when she felt like her life was together. She didn't even identify this as a problem. Church should be the place we sprint to when things are at their worst, not the place we avoid until we've gotten our Instagram-worthy Christianity back in place. Church should be the place where we run to when we're in a crisis. When we're not doing well, we should want to go to a church to be with others who are also not doing well, for support and for love. Church should be the place where we run to, not a place where we go to perform, outperform, to feel better about others. It's not a place where we come to when we are doing, only when we're doing well, because the church is not a community of strivers. No, it's a union of sinners. We are here today because we all need Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. Look around you. Everyone around here needs Jesus. That's why we are here. And upon hearing the criticism of the tax collectors, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, Jesus said to them, verse 17, "It's not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus didn't come for those who think that they are well, who do not need him. No, he came for those who recognize that there's something wrong, that they need Christ, that they need Jesus to heal them and love them and care for them. And the thing is, everyone is broken. Everyone is broken. Everyone is hurt. Everyone is sick. And everyone is sinful. That's the one thing that unites all humanity. All of us are sinful. All of us have failed. Some people have distinguished themselves, right? Some people have accomplished things. Not everybody has, but what's common to all of us, even those people who have accomplished these things, have failed and often feel like failures. That's what unites all of us. That's what unites humanity, our sinfulness. And we, as Christians, are people who know this. But we forget this in an age of Instagram. When I came back from Singapore at night, December 31st, one of the first things I did, ashamed to say, is I went through all my photos, went about half an hour to curate the best photos from the Singapore trip to put in my Instagram. Here's a photo of it. Everyone is smiling there. Here's another one. What a ridiculously photogenic family I have, yeah? But do you know what I didn't put on my Instagram? I didn't even put it on my camera. All the times of frustration waiting in the line. All the times when my kids are whining and I have just lost it and started yelling at the kids. Those things never make it to my phone, right? Those things never make it to Instagram because that's not what we document. That's not what we present to the world. But you and I know that those moments happened. Not just me, right? When I say this, you know that this happens to me. You know it happens to you. You know it happens to everybody in the whole world. You know that that happens. Friends, when we come, let's assume this year that we have failed in some ways. This past week, this past day, we have failed. Maybe in this very morning, you have failed. But we've come knowing that we are failures. Even when we have these Instagram moments, even when we accomplish these good things, human beings are both good and bad. We're not purely good. We're not purely bad. We're a mix of everything. We're both and. I think of the movie Inside Out. Those are some good characters and some frustrating characters too. And that's all of us too. Inside us are great things like joy and love and selflessness, self-control, all those things are there, kindness. But also there's disgust and anger and jealousy, fear, anxiety, laziness, pride, lust. All of that is there, and all of it is trying to control, right? They're all vying for control of our hearts. That's all of us, not just some of us, all of us. And many times the bad and the evil win. That's all of us. Friends, I would love to have that freedom here in Sha Tin Church as we come. That freedom that comes from admitting that we are failures, that we need help here. There's a saying, practice makes perfect. It's a terrible saying, because practice does not make perfect. But, you know, perfection comes at a rare moment for just brilliant people. But even for them, it comes and then it flutters away. Because for mere mortals, perfection is not achievable. Practice makes better. We do get better. That's good. And we are trying here. That's good. But we're not perfect people here. We'll never be perfect people in this side of Jesus' coming. Actually, the thing that unites us is our failures. But actually, what unites us even more, there's more than that. What unites us is that recognition that we will fail, but also that we have a wonderful Savior. That we have one who has called us, knowing who we are. It's not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Friends, we are called by the doctor, Jesus. He called Levi from his tax collecting booth. Levi is also known as Matthew, and made him an apostle. He calls each of us and gives titles that we don't deserve. Friend of God, children of God, Christ followers. He was able to do this because he didn't come to merely manage our sins. He's not in the managing sin business. He came to pay for our sins. He died for our sins. And then he defeated death and pulled us out of death with him. So he's able to offer to everyone, all the sinners, come to me. Come to me. I will save you. It's true that he commands, he exhorts, he encourages, but his name is Jesus. Yahweh saves. Fundamentally, Jesus is not just somebody that we emulate. Fundamentally, he's much, much more than that. Fundamentally, he is our Savior. He's not somebody that we emulate, although we do want to do that. Fundamentally, he is our Savior. He came to save us, save sinners who could not save themselves. So this year, I hope we'll commit to talking about our failures, not the shiny parts, but our depressions, our failings in marriage, our lust problems, our anger issues, alcohol issues, or kids' behavioral issues, or whatever issues that you are dealing with. It's all here. Let's talk about that. Let's admit our weaknesses. Let's admit our limitations and failures to one another, not just so that we feel better, but also to remind one another that we have a Savior, Christ, who has called us to be his disciples, who has given us this title, children of God. In other words, let's live out the calling that we have as fellowship of sinners here. Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Accept one another. Accept one another as Christ accepted us, accepted you. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. And before the teachers of the law and the Pharisees wrecked the party, you know, these sinners, tax collectors, were having a great time. Why were they having a great time? Because they all knew that they were sinners. There were no judgments there. There were no people trying to outperform one another. They all knew that they were sinners, but this was a gathering of sinners celebrating the Savior who has called them to come. They were celebrating together. What a feeling that is. I just finished a book called Low Anthropology, which talks a lot about this, where David Zalm, the author, mentions his friend Ashley, who had struggled with alcoholism all her life. She was very young when she started to drink, and in the story, he recalls a time when, with her last incident, her license was taken away, and she was made to join a group therapy. She stood out because she was one of the youngest there, probably the youngest, and one of the few women there in the group. And David thought that this would feel really bad for Ashley, her friend. But this was not Ashley's experience. She recalled, "I don't think I've ever felt so understood. What we have in common is a wake of broken promises and bad decisions. I don't have to edit my story or worry about impressing them. It's such a relief. I look forward to it every day. I look forward to it every day. It's such a relief that I can just be myself. I'd love for that to be church. I'd love for that to be Shatin Church. I know we often hide our struggles because face is important in Chinese culture, and we know that people need help, but we don't want to be the ones receiving help. We want to be the ones who are giving help. But what freedom there is to admitting that everybody needs help here. Everybody is struggling here. That's why we are here. And so let's accept one another as Christ accepted us. And can we also commit to being vulnerable with each other this year? I love that in the Anglican liturgy, it starts out with confession every week. What is it? What is, every week, we do the same thing. Why? Why? But it's a recognition that we all need to confess every week, that all of us have failed every week, that we are people, the kind of people who need to confess. And I hope we can actually confess our sins to one another more. Maybe, you know, you don't want to do it to everybody in big groups, but maybe in your small groups, maybe in prayer triplet, the two or three people, maybe you can go to a person and just confess your sins. And let's not, I hope you do that. And when we do it, when you do it to somebody, please do not be surprised by other people's sins. You know, I've done this to a few people, and I remember still at least one person's reaction and going, well, I'm never doing this again to this person, right? We don't want to be that person. We want to assume that we are failures, that we want to love and have compassion on one another. We're sinners united by grace. The only way that we can possibly do this is if we're a community that's committed to loving one another, committed to love, accept as Christ accepted us, and love as Christ accepted us. Margaret Mead was a famed anthropologist, and she was once asked, when does she think that human civilization began? When did human civilization begin? Well, you know, you could maybe think of maybe broken arrowheads or a plow that's in a farm or something. But that wasn't her answer. Her answer, surprisingly, was that she pointed to a 15,000-year-old broken femur. The femur is the biggest bone here. Yeah, broken femur that had been healed. Why? Because, she said, it takes about roughly 6 weeks for a broken femur to heal. And at that time, this person cannot move. They cannot do it. They have to be taking care of others. And she went on to say, this does not occur in the rest of animal kingdom. 6 weeks, no. Nor was it a feature of a pre-humanoids. Our way of coping with weakness, as much as our ingenious technologies and arts, is what sets us apart as a species. Loving the vulnerable, taking care of the weak, having compassion, caring for one another when we need it the most, that's when we are most human-like. Which means that's also when we're most God-like. Which means that's when we're most Christ-like. So let's commit to loving one another this year. You know, churches are good at saying, come as you are, to non-Christians. But as you attend for a while, the tune changes a bit, right? We go, why are you still exactly the same? Why are you not more different? Why can't you do better? Friends, Dr. Jesus has called us because we cannot heal ourselves. I cannot heal you. But Jesus has called each of you, and Jesus has a plan to heal each of you. He is the one at work in us. He called us not because we're striving, not because we've distinguished ourselves, but because we're sick. So if we expect people to grow, let's expect God to do the growing. Let's expect the God to do the growing in his own ways, in his own time, in his methods, by the power of the Spirit. For us, for now, our job is to accept one another, love one another, and continue to try to live out our calling as a gospel community. Can we do that in 2025? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called each one of us through your Son, Jesus. By your grace, you've called us. Lord, we repent of the ways in which we turn this grace into self-righteousness, into competition, into divisions and judging. And Lord, help us this year to be gracious. Help us to be gracious to ourselves. Help us to be gracious to others. Lord, may grace be something that we are committed to this year. But we know that this is not something that we can do by ourselves. So would you pour out your Spirit in this church? Lord, we pray that it'll be your grace operating in us, through us this year. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.